Word of Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, I've got you under my skin. Annoying people making you itch? We're going to help you stop feeling so irritated. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, I've got you under my skin.
Mm.
Hey. You got to add that. If you're going to sing it like that, you got to add that. I'm a frustrated lounge singer. Something to fall back on if the
God
radio
forbid,
doesn't work
yes.
out. Yeah. If annoying people are making you itch, we want to help you feel less irritated by those folks. Give us a call. Tell us, do you have a difficult person in your life? If you don't, can you call and tell me your secret?
Oh, right.
Is someone getting under your skin? Someone who's just hard to deal with for some reason? Or maybe there's somebody that you do get along with pretty well overall, but there's just that one thing they do that drives you crazy. nothing in particular, just one thing. If you're tired of letting those people or situations get under your skin, and maybe if you've tried to address it already a million different times, but nothing ever changes, we want to help you find ways to manage those circumstances and make some change. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. We're having fun with it, but the reality is that this can be very painful.
Well, I have to say that as Catholics, we're called to deal with people who are irritating the stuffing out of us. We are. It's not as easy as just saying, well, goodbye to you.
That's
you know,
it for them.
We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Or harboring hatred or resentment towards them, or being able to just call them a million different names in our heads or to other people. We're called to do our best with the grace of God to bring healing and to bring change to relationships that are like that.
Well, because that's what it means to build the kingdom. You know, building the kingdom of God doesn't mean going out and doing great big things for the world.
Mm-hmm.
It means building the bridge that was broken when original sin entered into the world. And so the more we work on these relationships, the more we're able to actually build God's kingdom by creating connection.
Well, you know, and I'm going to be completely honest here. God often has a bizarre sense of humor with me. And we'll plan out these shows quite a while in advance. And then God will say,
at least like 2 or 3
here.
Minutes.
No. He'll say, here. Practice what you're preaching, Lise. And I have been going through something since the weekend with somebody in my life that is sort of being the apex of this for me. This is a really difficult situation.
The pearl in your oyster, darling.
I'm hoping it becomes a pearl. Right now it's definitely the irritation. And this person is literally driving me to the point where I know that there are certain things I have to say and I have to do. But I'm spending real time in prayer saying, how do I build that bridge? If it's not possible because of this person's stubbornness or ignorance, how do I not blow this sky high because there are other family members involved in this who will suffer if it happens? What I'm saying by sharing my personal experience of what I'm going through now in this is, we're not saying this is always easy. And because we're Catholics, it's not always easy. Because, as I said, you can't just brush them off and be done with them.
I mean, it's okay sometimes to set those boundaries,
but
of course,
that's intentional,
yeah.
And there's a lot that comes before that in terms of trying to bring healing and reconciliation. It's not as easy as just saying, well, they irritated me, flip a switch. We're really required to go through a lot of steps to bring healing, reconciliation, and building those bridges with people who are truly being irritating or offensive in some way. It's not easy. It takes prayer. It takes grace. It takes real skills to be able to do that sometimes. Sometimes it takes the support of others. Sometimes you're begging God to figure out what to do because you don't have anybody else's support. If you're feeling a little bit of what I'm feeling today, or you're going through this on the daily, or there's just somebody in your life that it's you really don't know what to do with at this point besides throw up your hands, let's talk it out for you and your situation today and help you get the grace and a few more skills than you had 5 minutes ago so that you can start handling that person or those people better and more in accordance to maybe with what God wants you to do in that situation. We'll help you figure it out today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Hey, I don't want to irritate all of our new listeners in Beloit, Kansas, so I want to make sure that we welcome a brand new station, now part of the EWTN radio family. Hello, everybody listening on KKSJ 107.5 FM in Beloit, Kansas. Many thanks to Lynn Ellens and their great team. For all their hard work and prayers to get this new station on the air. Again, we want to welcome all of our brand new listeners now hearing us on 107.5 FM KKSJ in Beloit, Kansas, the newest member of the EWTN radio family.
That's right.
Salute. I just have to do that every time.
Have to go back to
it's a hee-haw thing. And nobody even knows what I'm doing.
But
it's
years ago when you were
so
like an embryo and your mother was watching.
I was 3 years old when I said, but I just thought it was the funniest thing back then. So
but honestly, it's so wonderful to have the folks at KKSJ over in Kansas joining all of us. I love everything that's happening in the Catholic world in Kansas. Across the state, it's just becoming more and more a place of vibrant Catholicity, and I'm thrilled that we have another station in Kansas that's joining us and being part of helping the gospel grow there and sharing the faith.
Now, I know all you people in Kansas just tuning in on KKSJ don't have anybody that irritates you, but we'd love to hear from you if you do. That goes for all you listeners as well, wherever you are in this great big world, because this is the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, do you have a difficult person in your life? I wonder if you do.
Well, you know, and I want to add to that, you know, a lot of people when we ask a question like this are like, well, what if somebody hears that I'm complaining about them or a friend hears it? As I just shared, I've got this person in my life, but I didn't tell you who it was or how they're involved in my life. It's fine to just use anonymous names or change the names to protect the not so innocent.
In fact, use their name when you call instead. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding.
You can change your name or you can change theirs so that you can get the skills and the grace that you need to be able to handle these folks in your life.
877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for all the unique and unrepeatable and wonderful people that you've placed in our lives. But Lord, even the nicest, most wonderfulest people are sometimes really irritating. And they don't mean to be, or sometimes they do. But we get under each other's skin, and it stops us from being able to enjoy the communion that we were created for. Help us to remember that building your kingdom does not mean going out and saving the world or doing amazing things. It means doing the simple, beautiful work of rebuilding the relationships that were broken by sin, and that we can all start building your kingdom by addressing those irritations that come between us and others in a more graceful way. So give us the wisdom,
the patience, the love, the understanding, the fortitude, and all the other virtues that we need to build those bridges, to heal those hurts, to overcome those challenges, so that we can truly be one as you and the Father are one. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, I've got you under my skin. As we talk about annoying people that are making you itch, we want you to give us a call so we can help you stop feeling so irritated and do something productive about it. 877-573-7825.
We're going now to Alex, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Alex. Welcome to Mortal Life. What's going on?
How are you today?
Good, thank you. What can we do for you?
Boy, I got a doozy for you, and you're going to earn your paycheck on this one.
I love it.
All right, a brief synopsis. My wife and I were married 10 years ago. She comes from a Pentecostal background. Mm. And 10 years before that, her ex-husband had walked out on her. And her parents basically took control of her life. And then when I came along, boy, they did everything they could to get to make me run away, which I did not. I'm a very stubborn, strong-willed person.
And I'm assuming you loved her too much to run away as well.
That's right. That's right. Well, yes. Yes, that's a better way to put it. And so she went against them and married me. And so they completely shunned her. Did not come to our wedding, had nothing to do with her or me for over 5 years. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, they 100% reverse course. My basic psychology knowledge says, well, the shunning wasn't working, so they reverse course and basically brought her right back under their control. And when she asked me about it, I said, well, I'll take it for what it is, but I don't trust them because like a child, when they do something wrong, you make them have some ownership in what they did wrong or else they don't think they ever did wrong. Well, she said, well, my parents have always been like this and people just kind of let them do their thing. And so I said, so you enable them. Well, this has gone on and on and on. And I'll be honest, I have no love for them. Now, I talked to my priest about this recently, and he said, well, I understand why you have no love for them, but try to look at them with the love that God does. And I was like, oh, he threw the trump card at me.
Gosh darn it, that as love of God.
Yeah, as we were talking about at the beginning of the show, we as Catholics are on the hook for a whole lot more than the average folks. Yeah.
God messing up our lives.
I did tell him this. I said, look, I have prayed and asked God to forgive them of all they have ever caused harm to me. I want nothing held against them, but at the same note, I would not blink an eye to never have to step foot around them again. But sure. Because of my wife, and for my wife is like Chick-fil-A nice, okay? She is that.
Can I steal that
That's
phrase?
A thing now. I
like love
that.
That's okay.
So let me ask you this practical question here, okay? What kind of contact do you have with your in-laws, or does your wife want you to have with your in-laws? You know, and how is this whole dynamic complicated?
My wife, she basically wants, as her family's always done, act like nothing's ever happened and just move on. And her father is, I would say, almost terminally ill. He is very bad. And her mom's not far behind. And they're kind of people who've never planned for their future at all, and so my wife is now wanting to financially support them and be there as much as she can. And honestly, I have not been there since Christmas, and I'm getting ready to go up very shortly. And first, I don't want to, but for my wife's sake,
sure.
I am.
Well, I'm grateful that you're willing to do that.
No, I mean, your heart's in the right place. Look, you're describing a very human struggle. I don't think anybody, you know, in your situation would feel any differently than you do. But what I admire about your situation is that you love your wife enough and you love God enough to be willing to push through that very human, natural, understandable reaction to want to do more and be more.
And frankly, there's a bit of a white martyrdom in that I really appreciate you being willing to take.
Yeah, really in a good way.
You know, in a good way. When I say a white martyrdom, of course, you know, martyrdom is, you know, the bloodletting of our lives for the name of Christ. This is in love of Christ, in love of your wife, you're willing to kind of go through this martyrdom of nothing's really in right order here. Your in-laws have never come to you and apologized and said, you know, we handled this wrongly. So you don't have that closure to be able to just reconcile with them fully. But you're also able to say, because of these particular circumstances, of the fact that they are both very close to the end of their lives, and your wife needs that consolation of being, you know, in relationship with them before they pass on, that you're willing to kind of martyr yourself through this. But that still requires knowing where the boundaries are in this, protecting yourself and protecting your wife from giving too much and ending up hurt at the end of it.
Which leads me to my question back to you, Alex. So let me ask you this, okay? Assuming that you were never going to get an apology from them, assuming that they would never be able to recognize they did something wrong. Yeah, assuming that you never will.
Right.
What would you need to know about the way you and your wife interact with them that would make you feel safe to be around them at least?
To feel safe around them, honestly, I don't trust them. And that's something I struggle with myself, and I always have my guard up.
Sure. Well, and that's okay. That's okay, because I think forgiving somebody doesn't mean letting them off the hook, right? So, I mean, to forgive somebody just means to do what you said earlier, that you want to surrender your desire to hurt them back, okay? When you've forgiven someone, this is St. Augustine saying that forgiveness is surrendering your natural desire for revenge. Reconciliation is a different thing altogether, okay? Reconciliation would be that they had to acknowledge what they did wrong and that you guys could work through a process where it would never happen again, and or, you know, at least they'd try. And then you could reconcile with them and trust them. You can't trust them. And so it's okay to have your guard up. That doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. What all you have to do to forgive them is to really not want ill for them, or to not want to hurt them, or talk badly about them, or, you know, any of those kinds of things. That said, when you say, I don't trust them, when anybody says, I don't trust somebody else, what they're really meaning is, I don't trust my ability or my and my wife's ability to handle this differently moving forward. Why do I say that? Because if you could trust that, then it wouldn't matter what they did, because you had something in place to manage it well and insulate yourself from the hurt and deal with it proactively and effectively. So my suspicion here, Alex, is that the better conversation to have would be between you and your wife, where you're able to work with her over the long haul and say, look, that's fine. We don't need to talk about this with your folks if you really want to let it go. But my bigger concern is that you and I don't have a good way to set appropriate boundaries with them if they step on us again. And that you're too afraid to set those boundaries, that I can't trust us to manage this better if anything like it were to happen. And that's what I need, honey. I need us to be able to figure out, if something like this were to happen again, how could we handle it differently than we handled the last time? Because I don't want to see you hurt like that. I don't want us to go through that. And that's why I'm afraid to be around them. Because I know that that they are capable of doing this kind of thing. And I want to make sure that we have the strength, the connection, that you know what you're worth, to be able to handle this better if it were to happen.
And step two to that, but please lay down this emotional caretaking you're going to be doing with your wife first, Alex. Step two to that, and it doesn't have to be in the same conversation. It can be, a couple of weeks down the line when you begin to feel like you really, truly have a plan for emotionally nurturing each other through this, is to say, honey, out of Christian duty and love of you, I'm willing to help your parents out financially because of their lack of ever planning here.
We do owe that
however,
to our parents.
However, I also won't let them use you to the point where they destroy our finances, and we have no plan for
our future.
So
what are our boundaries?
So what are our boundaries? How do we handle that? Let's come up with a plan together so we're not fighting over last-minute decisions about money and helping them out.
Because, and I'm being you here again, Alex, because, again, honey, I know that because of the way they are and the way they treat you, no matter what they ask, you're going to want to give it to them.
Because you love them and you want that connection with them. Don't be blamey about it.
Right, right, right. Thank you. So Alex, that's the issue. It's not that you don't trust them. Of course you don't trust them. They're not trustworthy. It's more that you don't trust you and your wife to be able to set the right boundaries and be in it together moving forward. Focus on that conversation. We do talk more about this in God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. Check it out. We also talk about setting boundaries in our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, in the relationship chapter there. So those two resources will get you a little bit further down the road. But these ideas and this shift in focus, I think, will make all the difference moving forward in your relationship with your in-laws. Alex, thank you. You have a beautiful heart. And I'm so glad you called with this question. Great way to kick off the show. If there's more we can do for you, call us back here or look us up online at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can also find those resources. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're talking with Tim and Sue Muldoon. They're going to be sharing with us those different ways of practicing love and acceptance in a healthy way in our relationships. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life comes up after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we are talking with you about those irritating people in your life. Got somebody that's getting under your skin? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Tim and Sue Muldoon. They're the authors of three books, most recently Reclaiming Family Time from Word Among Us Press. Sue's a therapist and director of family ministries at Good Shepherd Parish in Massachusetts, and Tim is a pastoral theologian and director of mission education at Catholic Extension. Guys, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning.
Great to be with you guys.
All right, so Tim, let me start with you. You know, we're often irritated by the differences that we experience with other people, especially, for example, our spouse.
That never.
Yeah, right. But how do you experience those differences as gift?
That's an important question. My immediate answer is that sometimes the irritation is really in us. I mean, obviously, sometimes people do things that are just different from the way that we perceive them. So I would say that the first answer is, well, let's take a look inside and ask, are we in a place to practice gratitude for this person in our lives. I think of this ancient images from the early church, that a jar full of honey has no room for vinegar, that if your life is filled with gratitude, you tend not to let the small things get under your skin too much. So I think regularly practicing gratitude is one particular practice that can help address that concern.
You know, that's really an interesting point. You know, it's not about denying those irritations, and certainly we can address them if we have to, but we need to address it in the larger context of the relationship and the person and all they are to us and for us. Let me ask you a follow-up question to that then, Sue. So, you know, there are some differences and maybe even irritations that we can kind of get over and see as a gift, something that somebody else is bringing into our lives. But then there are other things that we do need to address. How do we know the difference?
Sometimes that can be a challenge, but I think recognizing first that no one owes us being exactly the person we wish they would be, like being exactly the way we would want them to be. And sometimes we think that if someone's doing something that isn't how we wish they would do it, or it's, you know, an irritation, we think, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that. I would do it a different way. And recognizing that there's always going to be differences in personality and ways of thinking about things that we bring from our own upbringing and perspective to marriage, that it's natural that there's going to be those differences. And responding to it with negativity isn't we don't have a right to be negative just because it's something we wouldn't choose.
Well, that said, in the 30 seconds we have left before they start playing us out, if there is that difference, you know, that we need to address, how can we start?
By recognizing if it's making us feel disrespected, if we've tried to address it in a loving way, and the person doesn't respond, then we need to be honest with the fact that this bothers me, and it may be that you say, okay, it's not something that can be changed. How can we find the middle ground? But if it's something that makes us feel like our irritation is growing and our sense of distancing from the person is growing, then it's something that needs to be addressed, not just accepted. Like if our feelings can't be turned in a positive way, then we need to look at it as something we need to talk about honestly and lovingly, and not just think, well, I'm irritated, so I'm going to just get tense about it, but I'm going to say, let's talk about it. And if we need to, bring in someone else to help us to recognize that I feel disrespected by that.
And with that, I got to let you go, guys. Thanks so much for being with us. We got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about the people that are irritating you. Stick around for more to life in just a minute.
Lincoln's second inaugural is an effort to ensure that the North and South will once more be able to see each other as brothers rather than enemies. And like Lincoln's day, our own day is divided by ugly sentiments and uglier issues. And while we haven't come to a civil war, we really do have civil conflict. And while we might aspire to be a united States of America, we are a divided States of America. There's nothing wrong with longing for a recovery of the middle. But when we say that, we can't be saying we want to end the discussion. The whole point of recovering the middle is so that we stop yelling and start real discussion. The middle is the common ground, where we find common language, where we find common values, so that we can intelligently, patiently, and respectfully hammer out our differences, and also determine where differences cannot be compromised.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of 7 gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Lisa Popchak.
Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home. But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we've found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled, I've Got You Under My Skin. If annoying people are making you itch, we want to help you stop being so irritated and do something about it. Give us a call if you've got a difficult person in your life and you're not sure what to do. 877-573-7825.
And you know, one of the ways you can tell if you need to do something about it is if a lot of your energy, your thought process, your emotions are being taken up by, I should say this, I wish they'd stop doing that. What if I handled it this way? Mm-hmm. If you're stewing about this on a daily basis, or it keeps coming back to you in waves over time, it could be the prompting of the Holy Spirit telling you, you know, you really do have to do something.
Yeah.
Let's help you figure out what.
You know, you saying that reminds me of my favorite quote from my patron saint, Saint Gregory the Great.
Quote, or one of them.
Thoughts seethe all the more when corralled by the violent guard of an indiscreet silence.
But what is a discreet noise that you make? You know, there's the industry, but you need a way to handle it with grace, with aplomb, with a way that's effective and gets you what you need. That can all be very complicated and made more complicated when you start stewing about stuff. Because if y'all are anything like me, you come up with 1,000 scenarios in your head. You run them all. You go through all the ways they're not going to work. You picture all the reactions they could have. And you're physically, emotionally spent by it all by the time you've tried to work this out in your head. And that person that's under your skin that's irritating you never has a clue that you've just gone through all of that. Or why your emotional temperature is higher when you do see them and have to deal with them. It just spins and spins around and makes you more and more frustrated with the situation. If any of that sounds familiar to you, you're going through it, you don't want to go through it again, whether you're feeling it a little bit or a whole lot, we're here for you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 7825.
With that, let's go to Judy, who's listening in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Judy, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hello.
Hi, what can we do for you today, Judy?
So, I got married very early age, about when I was 20. So, I got married in a Catholic church. We had a son together. So, we got divorced, but we haven't done the annulments yet.
Okay.
So I do have my friends. They always tell me, oh, you can't just have one child. You have to go get married again. You're too picky with guys. Why don't you just settle down? So I try to just ignore it or just brush it off or laugh it off. So, but they don't know that I have to at least finish my annulment before I can remarry, but I don't want to go into detail and explain everything to them because some of them don't understand what annulment means.
Sure. So and are you in the process of the annulment now?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. So I have one of my girlfriend. I know she meant well, Yeah. But that was the day she told me, oh, she have to do like a fasting and praying with me so that God will send me the man that I need. Like, why do you think that getting married is my priority now? I mean, I have a child to raise. I have to work and also finish my, you know, well, finish some things that I have to do with my first marriage before I get hooked up with somebody else. Like, how do I get him to just back off and let me be?
That's a terrific question, and I want to thank you for that. You may not be able to entirely get them to back off without being, you know, rude and dramatic, and I don't want you to do that. Yeah. But there are some ways that you can handle this a little bit more effectively and get a little bit more space.
Now, I do really appreciate, Judy, the fact that you acknowledge that your friend means well. Mm-hmm. You know, just as Tim and Sue Muldoon were just talking about in our segment before our break, being grateful for what is good in that person and in that situation does help alleviate some of that stress, some of that resentment of being irritated by somebody's behavior. So focusing on, before you talk to her, okay, A, she does mean well, she wants me to be happy, and B, she doesn't understand the ins and outs of my faith and the fact and what it means to get an annulment. So those two things are important to start with in order to keep your emotional temperature in check about all of this.
Yeah, and I want you, kind of building on that, and I have a specific suggestion, a practical suggestion for you on this. I want you to kind of build on what Lisa was just saying here and realize that it's not really your job to convince her that she needs to give you permission to not start dating right now. Because we can get into that trap. You know, somebody has a plan for our lives, and we feel like we've got to convince them to give up that plan and validate our plan instead. Which is doubly hard in your situation because your friend doesn't know what your plan is and wouldn't understand why you want to take that plan anyway. So she can't really support it because she doesn't know it or understand it, right? So that said, it's not your job to try to convince her that she should change her mind. You want to acknowledge the positive intention that she's got. She wants you to be happy. She wants you to have to resolve those the disruption in your life by being able to get back on track and get back on out there. And she feels like she's supporting you. The best way that I would suggest to you handling this is to give her a different way to support you, and that is to say to her, "Listen, I really appreciate that you want me to get back up on the horse and have somebody to love me and support me. Those are beautiful things. I want that too. But I can't get into the details. I don't want to get into the details, and I really need you to respect me on this. But there are just some personal things that I need to work out to make sure that if I get back into a relationship again, I do it the right way, and it's with the right person. And so I'm waiting on God, and I'm doing that work. And I just need you to give me the space to do that work and not push me in this direction. I'm happy to pray with you like you said your friend was doing. I think that's beautiful. But let's pray that God would move powerfully in my life and open my heart to his will and help me to do all the work that I need to do so that if he wants me to get remarried at some point, that I can do it the right way with the right person. Could you pray about that with me?" Because if you can give her a way to support you differently than she is, I think she'll take that. Because she sounds like a godly woman who really does want what's good for you. She doesn't understand why you're not moving in this direction, so she's pushing a little bit harder because she thinks that's the only possible thing. But as a godly woman, if you said to her, "Let's pray about this instead, and that my heart would be open to God's will, and that he would give me the grace to do what I need to do, the work that I'm working on now, to prepare my heart to receive whatever he wants to give me," I think she'll go with that. Start there. If you find that that's not working, you know, number one, remember, it's not your job to convince her. You don't need her permission. But I get that when you have a friend, you want to be supported in the right way. So if she's not biting on this line that you're giving her, give us a call back and we'll talk about how to handle it next. But I think that's going to make a big difference. Judy, bless you for being willing to go through this process of annulment. And for those listeners who don't really understand why that's such a big deal or why that's important, just very briefly, you know, the whole reason that the church asks couples to go through that annulment process is not because the church wants to make your life harder or more difficult in some way or makes you want to jump through hoops. And sometimes it can be presented that way. The real deal here is that when you get married in the church, you make certain promises to each other, specifically the promise to work for each other's good and to get each other into heaven. that you don't make in a civil marriage, you know? And a civil ceremony, you're just promising to share your stuff and claim your kids, okay? But the government can't undo the promise that you make to God to be this person's biggest influence, second only to Jesus Christ, for getting into heaven. And if God chose you to get this person to heaven, how do you not do that work? You know, how can a piece of paper alleviate that responsibility? Well, an annulment doesn't alleviate that responsibility either. What it does is it says, you know, despite your best intentions, God really didn't call you to be that person, second only to Jesus Christ, who is going to work to get this other person into heaven. God has some other plan in mind for getting them to heaven, and you don't happen to be part of it. And that's what the annulment process is really all about. Being able to identify that, and then if you do get the annulment, then to walk you through the steps of how do you find that person? How do you know to look for that person that God has chosen for you, not just for this life, but to help get them to heaven in the next?
And also to become that person, that godly person, who can deal with anything that was a barrier in the other marriage that will have been invalidated by then, so that you've brought a more healed person into a new and sacramental marriage.
So that's what that's all about.
It's not just church paperwork, as too many people are told.
Yeah. So you know, for those folks who are listening and wondering why this is such a big deal, that's really what's going on there. It's not about crossing your T's and dotting your I's and jumping through hoops. It's about really prayerfully discerning what the next steps in your life are with the church. And that's a beautiful thing. Thanks for being willing to go through that process. It's not always easy, but it is a good and grace-filled thing. 877-573-7825. Do you have a difficult person in your life? Somebody that is getting under your skin, who's hard to deal with? Or maybe this person is somebody you, generally speaking, get along with, you know, pretty well. But there is just this one thing that they do that drives you crazy. You know what I mean. Either way, we want to help you out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions, observations, comments, and all other sorts of things after the break. Give us a call.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I am Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled, I've Got You Under My Skin. Thank you. I know that's going to go through your head all day now. You are most welcome. If you've got somebody who's irritating the stuffing out of you and you want to do something different about it other than just keep putting up with it and seething inside, give us a call at 877-573-7825. And we'll help you out. With that, let's go to Anne, listening to EWTN Radio in Lafayette, Louisiana, on Covenant Radio.
Hi.
Hi,
Anne. This concerns my daughter, and I'm trying to be fair in giving some advice, but I just need your suggestions. Mm-hmm. She has a brand-new baby, 5 weeks old, their first
Congratulations.
Child. Thank you. We're thrilled. And she and her husband are both in the medical field, and they work extended hours. Well, this weekend, they have his family coming in, brothers and sisters, for a visit, which is going to be from Thursday till Sunday. And she is really stressing over this. One of the children that is coming along is an autistic child, 7, who's nonverbal and very hyperactive. The last visit, when they came a year or so ago, he was pretty much uncontrollable, and she was just beside herself. Well, now we have a new baby, and she's just starting to get this baby in a sleep pattern, and her fear is when they come, it's just no end. You know, it's just from morning till late in the evening. Her husband, you know, this is his family that he doesn't see, but maybe once or twice a year, so he's thrilled. And she's like, Mom, I am so stressed out. This is going to totally throw everything that we've tried to work with getting the baby to sleep on time. We're struggling with work because we're sleep exhausted. How do we handle this? And the family is going to stay at a hotel. But mm-hmm. when they come, they show up at 8. They don't leave till midnight. And it's just exhausting. And she doesn't have the backing of her husband on this right now. So as a mom...
When you say she doesn't have the backing of her husband, what has she tried to do and what does he say?
Well, he's just telling her she's just being extreme. Like she's just overreacting. She's being ridiculous. You know, that she just needs to go to bed and let him do the baby and blah, 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 blah. They even hired a night nanny to come in because they can afford it, to get her a couple of extra hours of sleep each night because he doesn't get up. And, you know, she just doesn't have his support. I mean, I understand he wants his family, but he's not really putting his foot down. And, you know, as a mother-in-law, I can't say anything.
Sure. Okay. And it sounds to me, if I'm understanding you correctly, that this is sort of the straw that's breaking the proverbial camel's back, but it's a bigger issue. It's a bigger issue that he doesn't, it sounds like he doesn't respect her. And what I mean by that is when you respect somebody, even if you don't agree with them, you really work hard to try to see things through their eyes. And what I'm hearing here is that he doesn't do that. Now, is he just not doing that about this? Or do you feel like in other things, when she comes to him, he's not he doesn't agree with her, he doesn't try to see things from her point of view?
No, he's been a very good husband. But
okay.
I think this is brand new for him. And
sure.
I don't think he's willing to really bend with this new baby situation. You know, it's odd. They're older parents. They're used to living their life the way, you know, and this is a shock.
Okay.
And he sounds a little clued out as to what your daughter's going through in terms of her new intensity and attachment, rightly so, to this new baby and prioritizing this baby's needs and her own need for physical and emotional wellness and healing after, you know, almost 10 months of pregnancy and now childbirth. People do not realize the fragility of a woman right after that. Not in a way, and I don't want 1,000 women saying, I was perfectly strong after childbirth. It's a big, huge shift. You now have somebody else who's completely and utterly dependent on you for their lives to take care of. And mom's brain, rightly so, created by God, is there to always make sure that that child is safe and loved and well cared for. Because dad hasn't gone through the same physical process, he's often not as aware of that and not quite as intuitive for mom's needs or baby's needs as mom might be in this situation. So if he's normally very respectful of her, he needs to actually ramp that up even more and respect the genius of what she's doing, because she knows what she's doing.
Here's my advice to you, Anne, okay? And it's going to be similar to what we talked about with our very first caller, Alex, who was having a hard time dealing with his in-laws, okay? Right now, because this is the crisis, the whole focus is on how can we kind of get his get his family under control. You know, the real issue here is their relationship. How can they work together to address whatever the most difficult things of the in-laws' visit are going to be? You know what I'm saying? It's not about do we let them come or do we let them stay or how annoying they are. It's to be able to say, ideally what would happen is she could say to him, look, I'm glad they're coming, but it does get to be too much after a while. Could you spend, if you wanted to visit with them, could you go out to dinner after a certain point, or go hang out at their hotel after a certain point and let me and the baby go to sleep? Could you do, or this thing is particularly difficult, how can we work together to negotiate that or handle that better so that I can get what I need?
You know, how do you want me to handle telling your parents and the rest of your family that this baby needs to be asleep by such and such amount of time? And by the way, whatever she tells them, have her back that up for an hour, because she's going to need a good hour with that many people there to re-regulate herself and the baby, to get the baby to sleep. How do you want me to tell your family that ahead of time so that they know what the baby schedule is and what we're trying to do? Working this out so they're working together.
Now that would be ideal. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is that when she tries to do those things, he says, oh, you're just being extreme, you're being ridiculous, they're not a problem, you just have to get over yourself. So what we have to do is take the focus off of the family visit and make it about the respect issue. So my suggestion to you, Anne, would be to say to your daughter, look, honey, I know that your husband loves you, but this is a big transition, and it's time to kind of look at that. And I want you, daughter, to say to him, you've always been respectful to me before. You, even when it's been hard for you to see things through my eyes, you've tried. But I don't feel like you're trying now, and it's really hurting me. I need to know, because I feel really vulnerable right now, that even when it's hard for you to see things through my eyes, you're going to try to. That doesn't mean you have to agree with me. It means that you have to try to appreciate where I'm coming from and work with me to find solutions we can both live with. Are you willing to do that? That's what you want to tell her to say, okay? Because if he says yes, good, problem solved, right? He's just not realizing this is about disrespect. He thinks it's about her wanting to come between him and his family. But if she's able to say, and not turn this into a polarized thing where they either come or they don't, or he gets to see them or they don't, but rather, how can we do this in a way that gets you to really hear where I'm coming from and work with me to find solutions to address these specific concerns that I've got? I'm not saying you can't see them, I'm not saying they can't come. I'm saying, how can we work together to take care of each other through it? Are you willing to respect that, even though you have a hard time with it? If he either says yes but doesn't follow through, or says no to her, no, you're just being crazy, then it's time to call a marriage counselor, because this is just going to get worse as time goes by, and I don't want to see that happen, because this is how marriages unravel after the baby comes on the scene. But if he's willing to hear that, then problem solved. Okay, I also encourage you to pick up a copy and give them a copy of our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, and take a look specifically at the mutual respect chapter and also the conflict and negotiation chapter. There's going to be additional techniques in there. You can get advice from there that you can share with them directly, or if she's open to receiving the book, you can just give her the book. Either way, that will give additional tips.
The other book I'd really like you to get them as a baby gift as quickly as possible is Then Comes Baby, because really, these are two grown adult people who, as you said, have very much had a system to their lives, a pattern to their lives. Suddenly, baby comes, world's upside down. This is really going to talk them through how to be a couple while becoming a family and dealing with the adjustments. And they'll begin to see that this is nothing new under the sun, but there are things that they can really do to shore up who they are as a couple and welcome their new baby and form a family.
Yeah, great point. But the main thing, Anne, to take away from the call is encourage your daughter to stop seeing this as a thing about her husband's family. This is really about
her need to remind her husband of how respectful he has been in the past and how he's kind of failing in that right now, that he doesn't have to agree with her, but he does have to try to understand her concerns from her point of view through her eyes so they could work together to both get what they need out of this visit and take care of each other through this visit. If he's willing to do that, problem solved. If not, then it's time to get that marriage counseling so that they can handle this transition more effectively with the skills they need to truly take care of each other and respect each other through the transition. Thanks so much for the call, Ann. We will add your daughter and her husband and this new grandbaby to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more that we can do to support you in supporting them, don't hesitate to call us here. That is all the time we've got today, folks. Woo, really flew today. Thank you so much for making it such a great show and sharing your stories with us and allowing us to walk with you during this part of your journey. If we can provide additional support, check out the resources we mentioned on the program, including Then Comes Baby, the Catholic Guide to Surviving and Thriving in the First 3 Years of Parenthood, and God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, as well as How to Heal Your Marriage. All those and other great books are available at CatholicCounselors.com, including information about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. And then get on out there and start celebrating the life you were meant to live, because there is so much more to life, and praise God for that. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.